Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Ladies Talking Leafs. I'm Chris.
And I'm Syl.
And it's March, and this is where the games start to mean a lot more, and the teams get their game ready for the stretch drive of the playoffs. The Leafs are 9-1-0 in the past 10 games, so you can't get much better than that. We're going to mention a few other Leaf milestone records, but before we do that, we want to let you know BetOnline continues to be your number one source for all your NHL and basketball wagering needs. In-game live betting and futures for both pro and college hoops is available throughout the year. With up-to-date minute odds, stats, and trends, you can follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs with all the best player props and contests.
Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime on your desktop or your mobile devices. Head to BetOnline today to become part of the team and remember to use promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here. Currently, BetOnline has Canadian teams at plus 170. It's actually an interesting bet, Canadian teams. So they're plus 170 to win the Stanley Cups. Please gamble responsibly. If you or someone you know needs support or advice, reach out to Connex Ontario or an organization near you. Place your limits and stay within it.
So yeah, there was quite a few milestone records in what was a pretty good month of February for the Leafs. Let's just run through a few of them. It's 100 NHL goals for Tyler Bertuzzi, 400 NHL points for Max Domi, and 300 NHL assists for William Nylander. All of these records came in one game versus the Colorado Avalanche, which I thought was pretty amazing. But yeah.
And Sheldon Keefe also got in on the fun and into the Leaf records books for getting regular season win number 200 versus the Arizona Coyotes. And of course, Austin Matthews topped it all off by being named the NHL's number one star for the month of February.
Yeah. And I did forget to mention too that Marner was the second star of the week of February 18th, with one goal and nine assists that week in four games. So that was truly amazing too. But yeah, no, it's, I mean, I know it's only regular season, but I think you gotta still give the players and the coach some clapping for, and for all the good stuff. Cause you gotta play well during the regular season to bring it into the playoffs. So yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I remember, you know, back in 93 that when all the, there was a lot of records falling then as well. And there's like t-shirts being made and we have some of them. Ooh, my chicken here. So, you know, that's they deserve true. The fanfare. This is, we're seeing some unprecedented, you know, skills and milestones. So yeah, definitely it's worth
surprising,
celebrating.
Especially for like Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner, our dynamic duo that they haven't, mm-hmm. MLSE hasn't created as many t-shirts as they used to with
no,
for that
I mean, there was a
thing.
T-shirt a week back in the day.
Yeah, whether it be Wendell Clark, Doug Gilmore, mm-hmm. anybody, Felix Potvin, like all
I think
that.
We both still have that 93 and 93.
Yeah.
T-shirt.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So. Yeah. All right. So another, we just also want to give a shout out to Lance Payne on YouTube, who commented that he enjoyed our last episode. So thank you, Lance, for watching. And thank you to all of our listeners and viewers there. Don't forget to hit the follow button wherever you listen to our favorite podcasts, Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio, wherever you like to listen. Ladies Talking Leafs is everywhere, of course. So don't miss an episode. And now it's time to get into the show. We're going to retire our good, bad, and the ugly for this episode because we have something special coming up. But we are starting off with the Ladies Talking Leafs highlight reel with a couple of players making the highlight reel for the first time. And then for our third period segment, as I mentioned, we welcome our Ladies Talking Leafs insider, Mike Ajello, to the show to talk everything trade deadline. So without any further ado, let's talk Leafs.
All right. So we're going to talk, or actually we're going to roll the Ladies Talking Leafs highlight reel. Woo-hoo. I was getting mixed up there with the good, bad, and ugly missing out there. But yeah, so number three on the highlight reel is Ryan Reeves. Mm-hmm. Revo is contributing not just with his fifths, but which he's well known for, but with his, he's playing well too on what seems to be a fourth line that's come together into a solid fourth line for the Leafs. In his last five games, he has a goal and an assist, and he has had a couple of fights, which he's known for. But yeah, I'm really impressed since he's come back. He's really, the first few games, he wasn't great. Like, obviously it takes some time when you're off from injury. But he's played well, and he just hasn't made any dumb mistakes. He gets off, like, he plays his shift and he gets off. He doesn't stay out there longer than he should. And yeah, of course there was the big tilt that everybody was waiting for that Matt Rempe on the Rangers. And I just think too, I forget what the guy's name was in Arizona, because he had two fights in a row. He had the one on Thursday night versus the Coyotes. He had a fight.
I'm gonna say O'Brien. I think his name was O'Brien.
And then he had the one last night versus Rempe. But the player's reaction is what got me. Like Matthews, again, with that Arizona game, like he was over the boards, like banging his stick. Like he was like all fired up for that. And even like Domi yesterday, and even Nylander on the bench. I saw a Twitter post where it was just like they showed Willie going like banging with Reeves on the bench because he was all excited after him coming back from the fight. But it was I think there's something to that. Like I know a lot of people don't like fighting in the game anymore, but I guess it still has a role in the right place. And he just played well too on top of it all. Like he's that fourth line with David Kampf and Pontus Holmberg. Mm-hmm. Right. It's really connected well. So Ryan Reeves is our highlight reel number three star.
Yes. I can't disagree with you on that. That fourth line has done really everything that they've been asked to do, and they're playing their role. So that's great.
Yeah, bringing in energy. That's what they're supposed
100%.
To do. Yeah.
All right. So in our number two spot, we have Tyler Bertuzzi, finally. 5 goals and 1 assist in his last 5 games, including getting a hat trick versus Colorado on his 29th birthday, which topped it all off. So he is the first Leaf ever to record a hat trick on his birthday.
Yeah.
Which is surprising.
Yes. Yeah. Such a long history of a team. So many of these records, like even what with Matthews, Marner, but Tyler Bertuzzi getting his hat trick on his birthday. You would think somebody, a Leaf player out of all the over 100 years in existence, somebody would have scored a hat trick. But no. But this is what we've been waiting for. Like for the he's ramping it up as it gets closer to the playoffs, which is what we need. And finally, I guess there has been some questions with moving JT back down to the second power play unit, but putting Bertuzzi on the top unit, I think, has made a difference. He's just in front of the net. It's just, he's just all over the place there. And he's really, he's getting the opportunities, which is great to see. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So number one is our friend Mitch Marner, the magician. And so he's at another level right now, truly. I mean, I just, after last night's game versus the Rangers, we're recording this on the Sunday, but I mean, you could just, he really had something going last night. He had a chip on his shoulder somehow. I don't know why, but he's now the third player in Maple Leafs history with five career 50 assist seasons. So Boris Salming has five and Daryl Sittler has six. So he's only one behind Sittler on that 50 assists
and
in the season.
He's a pretty young guy still. So
yeah. Yeah. And he has 24 points in the last 14 games and the puck is just stuck to his stick. That's all I can say. And yeah.
Well, this is kind of the time of the season for Mitch though, isn't it? I mean, he may take a little while to ramp up his game, but second half, he's usually flying. We had we went to the game last night, of course, versus the Rangers. And we had a few guys sitting behind us who were there from New York for a bachelor party. And it was really cool to listen to them, as they're watching. First of all, they're really funny. But the part that I loved is when they're watching Mitch and Austin, in our zone, and they were just mesmerized and they were just kind of under their breath going, wow, I can't believe how good those guys are. They're so good. That is the thing is we take it, I think, for granted sometimes what we are watching. But when these guys come in from another town, and they get to watch them live, they even couldn't hold back, just noticing just how talented and how special they are.
The one guy.
They got some good players on their team too. So,
Sure.
I thought that was pretty cool to hear.
Yeah. Yeah. And the one guy mentioned with Marner too, he was mesmerized, the one guy really by Marner, just saying he is so good. And it's just he's good and he's a Leaf. So,
yeah. We're so lucky.
Yeah.
All right.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
So, yes, it is still only the regular season, but with the team getting into a groove in the past few weeks, it has to be making GM Brad Treliving think more about making some moves at the trade deadline. And to talk about this and all things Leafs, we have our Ladies Talking Leafs insider, Mike Ajello, on for our third period segment.
So trade deadline is only a few days away now, and no better person to talk about it than our Ladies Talking Leafs insider, Mike Ajello.
So Mike covers the Leafs and the NHL as a reporter and is a member of the Professional Hockey Writers Association. He does a podcast with HockeyBuzz.com and is co-host of Off the Post Radio and the Leafs Convo. Mike also covers the Buffalo Sabres with the Hockey News. So thanks, as always, for joining us today, Mike.
A pleasure as always. And in my spare time, I do feats of magic. So
just like Magic Mitch Marner, right? All the magician moves there. But anyway, so it is trade deadline coming up in a couple of days. So we just want to get, first of all, on the Leafs move to get Ilya Lyubushkin from the Anaheim Ducks it was a third round pick in 2025. And Carolina gets 2024 sixth round pick, our pick, in exchange for retaining the salary, 25% of Lyubushkin's salary. So we just wanted to get your thoughts, even though it seems that Lyubushkin is now going to be out of the lineup for a little bit. But we just wanted to get your thoughts on that deal first. If you think, was there any other possibility of a different defenseman, or do you think this is a good move for acquiring him?
Well, I think it's a good move, and you know, anybody who's read my pieces on Hockey Buzz over the last month or two, you know, my conclusion is, and I think I actually said this on the previous show, is I did not want them to trade for Chris Tanev if it meant trading the 2024 first round pick, because I think that they may get Chris Tanev in the summer. And if they do, then you've traded a 2024 first round pick for a player you were going to get, and to get him in a year that I don't think they're winning the Stanley Cup. So that would sort of be a waste of a premium asset. So when Tanev was traded to Dallas, and the trade between Dallas and Calgary was a second round pick and a second round pick from a couple years ago, Artem Grishnikov, that's basically the equivalent of a first round pick plus a conditional pick. Plus they had to trade another fourth round pick, I think it was, to get New Jersey to retain 25%. So based on what Dallas gave up, that would have been likely the first round pick from the Leafs plus, and that would have just been dumb. Now, Lyubushkin is not as good as Tanev, but he's in the range. I mean, I don't think he's somebody who's a perfect fit for Morgan Rielly on a top pairing, but he does allow Rielly to jump up into the offensive attack. He's a shot blocker. He's a physical right-hander, unless he's getting run by Matt Rempe. You know, I think it was a smart move. It was not an onerous price paid by Brad for a living. So, you know, now hopefully he is not out long term. I mean, obviously, if he's out for a couple weeks, then the benefit of that deal, you know, sort of wanes, because now they're stuck potentially playing guys who I think are AHL caliber players, like William Lagesson. You know, no matter how well he's played this year, he's an AHL defenseman. He's plugged in and he's played better than expected. But, you know, you don't want to go into a playoff series with William Lagesson or Maxime Lajoie as your options. So,
Do you think when it comes to playing with Morgan Rielly, do you think, like you're saying, Lyubushkin might not be, obviously playing like 20 minutes with Morgan Rielly a night, like he's not that type. Do you think maybe Keefe would consider making the minutes equal or more equal between the pairings sort of thing? Instead, like Rielly would obviously get the extra minutes on the power play, but right, to maybe make it more even when it comes to playing him and Lyubushkin at the same time, when they're playing 5-on-5 minutes.
Well, it's tough when you're trying to maintain pairings. And, you know, say, for example, you go in and it's Rielly, Lyubushkin, McCabe and Benoit, and
Liljegren and Brody.
Brody and Liljegren. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So if you want to give Rielly more time 5-on-5, then you're breaking up, say, Brody and Liljegren to put Brody with Rielly.
Rielly. Yeah.
I mean, that sort of defeats the whole purpose of maintaining sort of set pairings. So now Lyubushkin played significant minutes in Anaheim, and obviously we know that Anaheim was basically playing out the string because they're not a very good club. So, but there is a familiarity there with Lyubushkin and Rielly. So I'm not saying he's going to get 25 minutes like Rielly will, but he'll probably get 16 or 17. And remember, Lyubushkin will probably be on the PK because he's a physical righty defenseman. So I think the minutes will balance out. I don't think they'll overcompensate and give Rielly so much time that he'll be playing 6 or 7 minutes more than Lyubushkin is.
Than the other. Okay. All right.
So then, this kind of leads into our next question. You know, seeing as they had that retention, extra retention, Carolina picking that up, that made Lyubushkin's deal like a lot cheaper. Mm-hmm. So based on that, have you heard any news on the Leafs looking to make any other deals, like, you know, maybe even another defenseman or possibly a forward?
Well, that's the curious thing, because, I mean, first of all, we don't know what they actually have in cap space, because, you know, Brandon Pridham knows, but whatever Cap Friendly or Puckpedia has may not be accurate. So it could be a couple million, it could be less, it could be more. So, and that's not taken into consideration, you know, whether they put Giordano on LTIR. Now, they've already sent Robertson down to the Marlies, so that clears his almost $800,000 in salary. But, you know, probably, unless he's traded, he'll be probably back after the deadline. They're going to keep three goalies because I don't think they want to risk losing Martin Jones on waivers. But they could, you know, they could trade Connor Timmins, or they could send Lagesson down to the minors, and that would open up more cap space. So we don't know what they're really working with. That being said, I look at their defensive situation, and with one injury, with Lyubushkin being out, you're back to Lagesson as your number six defense, and you're calling up Lajoie to be the number seven. There's not a lot of room there. Now, we don't know how long Giordano is going to be out. It was a very serious concussion. He went headfirst and, or, you know, went full speed into the boards. They said he wasn't in good shape after he got hurt. But, you know, that he was better after the game. They're going to be careful. It could be weeks. So in that instance, you know, Treliving probably has to add another defenseman, even if it's somebody who's an experienced defenseman who can provide them with veteran depth that's better than Lagesson. I would prefer that it would be a righty, but maybe they think Timmins can fill that role once he's healthy. But we know the history of players who come back from mono, they're weakened, and he hasn't been a particularly good, sound defender throughout his Leaf career. He's good offensively. He's good as a secondary point man on the power play. But, you know, I think ideally they would like to add another defenseman. Here's where the comments of Brad Treliving on Friday were curious. After all this, after, you know, saying we're not going to trade our first round pick for Chris Tanev, he comes out and says, well, we'll trade our first round pick if it makes sense. Okay, no, it doesn't make sense unless you're getting somebody who is not a rental. If you're getting somebody who's got term left in his contract after this year, okay. And if it's somebody of quality, sure. That's what they did with Jake McCabe. Jake McCabe's turned out to be a pretty decent trade. He's having a good year this year. He's under contract for another year. He's only making $2 million. You know, if they're going out and they're trading for an Adam Larson or Jacob Chychrun or somebody with term left on their contracts, sign me up. But I don't foresee Seattle or Ottawa making those deals. So if we're talking rentals, then the first round pick has to be off the table.
Agreed. Agreed. So any other names floating around that you have found intriguing, or
like we talked about, I guess, on our last show, I guess, for defenseman, we were saying Sean Walker, like from Philadelphia, or that. Sean, no?
Yeah, no. It was funny because earlier in the week before, and it was, I was lucky, I wrote about these are the players I wish the Leafs will not trade for. And number two on the list was Tanev for the reason I just explained. Number one is Sean Walker. Sean Walker, I mean, and I have a little bit of insight here because a number of my friends who are reporters cover the Flyers. Russ Cohen and Anthony Mangione, who I do the Off the Post podcast with, they're at most Flyers games. Sean Walker was acquired as a salary dump from the LA Kings as part of the Cal Peterson deal. And he's had a good year, but A, he's in a salary drive. B, he has dropped off in the second half of the season, and C, the Flyers are high. They're asking for a first round pick. Now that might be, you know, we're asking first, but we'll take a second. Well, the Leafs don't have a second until the next millennium. So that's not going to work.
And you don't think that for the first rounder, though, you don't think it could include a forward to, like, I guess they would want just a first rounder for Sean Walker? Or could we get, like, I've heard Travis Konecny's name in there, too, and I've heard...
I doubt that.
And yeah, Scott Laughton. Scott Laughton was the other...
And there's another thing. Scott Laughton, first of all, he's under contract for another 2 years at $3 million. Where are the Leafs fitting this guy, salary cap-wise? And plus, he's playing fourth-line center, third-line center, third-line, fourth-line winger. I mean... I don't want a $3 million fourth line center. You've got David Kampf, who's a $2.5 million. If you're trading Kampf in the deal, then Laughton gives you more physicality, then okay. But I don't think that's what Philadelphia is looking for right now is there. I mean, for all the evidence to the contrary that they say that they're rebuilding, they're in a playoff spot right now. So essentially it sounds like they're going to trade Walker if they get the value that they want. And if they don't get the value that they want, they're going to treat him as an own rental and keep him or maybe even sign him. He is number one on the list. I would not want to trade for Nick Seeler. No, thank you very much. No. I mean, if you're going to trade a tangible asset for a defenseman, a rental defenseman, I still sign up for Matt Dumba, but anybody who saw the Arizona game against Toronto earlier in the week, Dumba did not play very well defensively. And when you're putting him with Morgan Rielly, you want somebody more established and more certain defensively. And he seems to take some chances and put himself out of position. So, I don't know if that's a fit. Cost benefit analysis, probably not. I've heard Will Borgen's name from Seattle.
I've heard that one too. What do you think of that idea?
No, he's a solid. I mean, this is the thing. We've heard Larson's name. We've heard Borgen's name. Both right-hand shots, both with term left. Tell me, why would Seattle do that? Because they may miss the playoffs this year, but they're interested in competing for a playoff spot next year. Why would you trade guys with term unless you've soured on them? And from all reports, they haven't soured on. So that dog don't hunt. And then the other name that I've heard is Mario Ferraro, but Mario Ferraro is a lefty. And, he's a good defenseman, but they're already overloaded on the left side.
Yeah.
So I think they need a righty. I think they need somebody with term, but
would the Sabres trade anything do you have any, since you covered the Sabres, maybe you have any ideas there? Maybe
that was the interesting thing, because the Sabres had a four game homestand in late February, and Brad Treliving was at one of the games. One of their assistant GMs, Ryan Hardy, was at another one. Their scouts were there for, I think, four of the five games at the end of February. So they were definitely keeping an eye on something, and it wasn't the other teams. It was Buffalo. Eric Johnson, I thought, might be somebody that the Sabres would trade to the Leafs, and that the Leafs might be interested in, but he's had some bad games recently. He's making $3.25 million. I mean, I think he would help the Leafs on the penalty kill because he's big and he's a veteran guy. But I don't think he's anything more than sort of bottom pairing minutes. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I don't think it would cost them a ton, but I don't know how much it really provides the Leafs. And we know the Leafs and the Sabres have not made a trade since Dominic Moore for a second round pick. And that was
that the, oh, a long time ago.
That was 16 or 17 years. It was like 07 or 08, something like that. They have not made a deal, like a player for pick or player for player deal since then. And the one before that was Dave Andrechuk, Darren Pupa, and a first round pick for Grant Fuhr. So, these teams don't like each other. Yeah. And you know, the, I mean, that there's a, obviously, you know, the rivalry, the Atlantic Division rivalry. So, and on top of that, the fans, Sabre fans, if they ever got robbed by the Leafs, they would never let them forget about it. So, I mean, other than a minor deal, like an Eric Robinson, who's a penalty killer, or Eric Johnson, if he wants a chance to play in the playoffs,
yeah,
you know, I don't think that the Sabres and Leafs will be doing any business anytime soon.
All right. Let's move on then. We'll go into this goaltending situation that we have. It's quite interesting for the Leafs right now with Joseph Woll returning from and playing well versus Arizona.
Yep.
But Samsonov, he played really well last night versus the Rangers.
He
just has the one loss to Vegas in his last five games. Mm-hmm. And how do you think this? The starts, moving forward, how do you think Sheldon Keefe handles the starts? Like, we have the game versus the Bruins on Monday night, and then there's a back-to-back, a home game versus the Sabres first, and then playing the Bruins on Thursday night in Boston. So, and then we play the Habs in Montreal on Saturday. But do you think Samsonov, because of the way he's been playing, like, personally, I think he should play tomorrow night versus the Bruins at home. But then there's that back-to-back, and do you play Samsonov on again, like three games in a row, or do you actually put him on the back, like on the second half of the back-to-back versus the Bruins, like play the Bruins twice, basically? I don't know. Like, I was just wondering how you think Sheldon Keefe would handle that kind of scenario.
I think if you remember, Samsonov got destroyed in Buffalo against the Sabres. That was the 9-3 game that they pulled him and they put Martin Jones in. But that was when he had his broken psyche.
Right.
So, you know, honestly, my suggestion, but you know, they'll do what they want. I would suggest a rotation. I would suggest Woll against the Bruins and Samsonov. And Woll splitting the two games back to back, you know, I give the organization a lot of credit, and I give Brad Treliving a lot of credit, and I give Ilya Samsonov a lot of credit for bouncing back from what looked to be, you know, I mean, there were people saying he's never going to play in the NHL again, and you know, they send him down, he's clears waivers, they do the reset, and he has played much better. And granted, the team has played much better in front of him. But I have held my belief, and I continue to hold my belief, that Joseph Woll should be the goalie in game one of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And I have not come off of that. Now,
that's interesting, because you know, I'm the opposite. I think Sill agrees with you, and I think Samsonov should be the goalie for the playoffs. I don't know. I just
he's older, he has more playoff experience, but you know, Woll had playoff experience last year, and I mean, he played really good against Florida after Samsonov got hurt.
Don't you think it's maybe with Samsonov too? Like, if you play Woll versus the Bruins, don't you think that'll, you know, how you said, like, his psyche is not so good, let's just say, like a month or so ago, like, it might actually make him like feel bad again, and like, because he's been playing so well, and then you're going to tell the guy, oh well, whatever, well, Joseph Woll just comes back from injury and sorry. Like,
it depends on how they've laid it out to them. I mean
right.
Okay, you've got three goaltenders right now. Obviously Martin Jones is their, you know, break glass in case.
Yeah.
Woll was the number one before December the 7th, before he got hurt.
Right.
And he had taken the job based on his play. Now, you know, obviously you don't operate under the, well, you know, you don't lose your job because you're injured. I mean, they're not going to start Joseph Woll 15 games in a row. They need to get both goalies ready for the playoffs. They need to make sure that Woll is healthy. And they need to make sure that Samsonov is sharp. And then, you know, you leave yourself options. Now, you know, we know that usually teams are going to go with one goaltender in a playoff run. Last year, because of injury, Vegas didn't. They went from Laurent Boisois to Aiden Hill. And Aiden Hill was fantastic, and he won the Stanley. It wasn't because of just because of Aiden Hill, but he helped. Like I said, I mean, I could be wrong. I think that this organization sees Joseph Woll as the future number one. Now, whether the future is now or the future is next year when Samsonov may not be back, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But based on Woll and how he played after a three-month layoff, which was really good against Arizona. I mean, Arizona must have had $1,000 on the bulletin board in terms of, like, you know, because I've never seen a team more motivated in my life to win in Toronto. And the statistic that they had on the Sportsnet broadcast blew my mind, that the last time that the Leafs had won in regulation was the day Matthew Knies was nursing with his on his mommy's it's unbelievable how, you know, like, I mean, but even when the Leafs got up 4-2, they were playing like their hair was on fire. It's unbelievable, yeah, how motivated the Arizona Coyotes are to, yeah, beating the Leafs in Toronto.
My
thing with the goaltenders is right now I would rotate them. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, I know that Woll played well against Boston when Boston played in Toronto, and I think that was in early December. They lost, but he played well. But I know Samsonov played really well at TD Garden earlier in the year. So you could go either way, but I think you're going to split the back-to-back, and you could start either one of them. But I do think they need to give both of them equal work going down the stretch.
I agree. I mean, last year prove that you're going to need both of them, right, to be successful in any playoff run, I think. So they both need the work. And, you know, I think you can argue that both of them are coming off stuff. Mm-hmm. So Samsonov still is coming off of that, you know, his broken psyche, as you termed it. So might be helpful, though, that they brought his best buddy in. Hopefully he'll be in the lineup to give him some support. All right. Yeah. So I think we do have time for our final question. We were wondering if we would. So we're going to sneak this one in. So we wanted to get your thoughts on Tavares being moved down to the third line, playing with Bobby McMahon, and then last night with Cale Yarncroc, who just came back. So he's also been moved down to the second power play unit with Bertuzzi taking his spot on the top unit. So what do you think about those moves and how, I guess, everyone's handling it, like from Keith, JT, how he's handling it. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's going to bruise his ego a little bit if it continues?
No, I don't. And I actually think I give him a lot of credit because, you know, he's the captain. He's not going to say anything in public. But look at the positive effect that it's had on this team. Not because Tavares has played badly, but because now you have a second line with Bertuzzi, Domi, and Nylander that has been really good, at least in the offensive zone. Defensively, William, you can't fly by on that goal yesterday. You know, like, that's why you get benched for 9 minutes. Again, Dr. Nylander and Mr. Willie, that was Mr. Willie right there. That's what we're talking about. But offensively, that line is dynamic. And I mean, we know that Tavares is slowing down. We know that. But I do think that the positive effect on what we've seen over the last few weeks with this team being hot is Matthew Knies has grown, I think, by leaps and bounds over the last few weeks on that line with Matthews and Marner. It's a bit, you know, it's not something that I think you want to split up. Bertuzzi has played much better with Domi and Nylander, and he's scoring like crazy, and he's contributing, and they have needed that secondary offense desperately. And now, when you had Tavares between McMahon and Robertson, and now McMahon and Yarncroc, you have a third line. I mean, you know, Bobby McMahon, get him signed now. He's a UFA. You know, they need a three line offensive attack. And I have to say, I'm shock of shocks. I give a lot of credit to the fourth line. I mean, Ryan Reeves has not been a liability. He's not a great player, but as long as he's physical and as long as he doesn't make bad giveaways, and you've got two defensive players in Holmberg and Camp that are covering up for him, and he provides, you know, the energy that he did when he beat up on Liam O'Brien and then had the battle royale with Matt Rempe, then he's not as much of a liability. Now, that being said, I think this team needs probably another forward, and maybe that is part of what they're going to go for before the deadline. I don't know if it's going to be another center or just a depth winger. Like I said, Eric Robinson, who from the Sabres, he's a excellent penalty killer. He's big. He's got speed. And we know that their PK is not the greatest right now. And you don't want, you know, Marner, Nylander, and Matthews killing penalties in a playoff scenario and blocking shots. That, you know.
Yeah.
No.
Or having Marner play defense, right?
Right. I mean, yeah, I give him a lot of credit for being able to do it, but, you know, it was just not an optimum situation. But
what do you think with Tavares going back to that line, like now that Yarncroke is there? I mean, it was only his first game back, but I started seeing last night, like Robertson just, he obviously has a bit more offensive flair to him, like to actually, because we need that third line to produce too. So obviously JT's been playing pretty well. He's had a couple of goals.
Right.
But I don't know if Yarncroke is going to, like he's more defensive minded. So I don't know. I was just thinking like, and then I guess with Domi being like the centerman on the second line, like him taking draws in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, to be a center, like a second line centerman in the playoffs, going up against like top units, whether it be like Florida or Boston, like I don't, like tomorrow's really going to show, I think, for Max Domi too, like the whether or not he can handle that, like because I don't know, he's not the greatest on defense, let's say. Max Domi, but
there was a reason why when they signed him, I said, oh, that's a great sign for the wing. Because he is, I know that he played center a lot with Chicago last year. When he got traded to Dallas, I'm pretty sure he played mostly the wing, and he had a great playoff for them. I think that one thing that Treliving will do is try to improve on their ability to be flexible. You can move Domi to the wing. You can move Yarncroke to the left side or the right side. Players get injured. You're going to need to have that. And now, like Noah Gregor right now is the odd man out, and Robertson is down with the Marlies because of cap restrictions. But, they said that, he'll probably be back after the deadline. But that doesn't, eliminate the possibility that they go out and they add themselves a veteran forward who can play center, who can play wing, who can give them, different looks. Because, we'll probably talk about this closer to the playoffs, but right now, the team that they played last night, I don't want to play in the first round of the playoffs. And I don't want to face the Florida Panthers. Because I think the Florida Panthers are a bad matchup. They're a bunch of pricks. The guy Nick Cousins and Sam Bennett and Lomborg, and that's not even talking about the biggest one of them all, and that's Matthew Tkachuk. They're a deep, talented team with a really good defense, with a good goaltender, the Rangers, with Shesterkin, who's one of the best in the league, and they're loaded up front, and they're going to add before the deadline. I'm not saying that Boston's going to be easy. But if you're telling me one of those three teams who I'd want to face, give me the Bruins.
No, that's my pick also.
Yeah, well, we're only
with you on that.
I saw as of last night, we're only 6 points behind the Bruins and we have a game in hand. So that's why these two games coming up are huge versus the Bruins. Yeah.
Yeah, but even if they split, I would rather play the Bruins in a 7-game series with Charlie Coyle and Pavel Zacha as your top two centers matching up against Tavares and Matthews, then matching up Barkov or matching up Zibanejad. I mean, Yeah. And Trocha.
I'm just saying for home ice too, like yes. just to get, because right now Boston has the home ice, I guess, even though they've played a game less. But
any team's going to love having home ice. Although if you look at the Leafs on home ice, they're right. I'd rather be on the road.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For whatever reason.
All right. Well, I guess we'll see how things shake out as the week progresses here. So, Mike, thank you again for bringing your thoughts to our people. So we appreciate it. So everyone, you can check out Mike's blog and podcast on hockeybuzz.com and the Leafs Convo. And if you want to see what the Sabres are up to, definitely check out Mike's articles on the hockeynews.com as well. Follow him on Twitter. If you want to find him, he's at Mike in Buffalo. That's his handle. So thanks again, Mike. And we will talk to you again soon.
My pleasure. And I know it's tough drawing me out. You got to work on
that. I know. It's thanks, really Mike. Hard. Segment.
Okay. Always a great conversation with Mike. And it's especially great for us because he knows so much about the players around the NHL and shares them with us and our listeners. So thanks again to Mike. And you can get the link to his Leafs blog on hockeybuzz.com in our show notes. So now we're just going to do a quick review of the Leafs' upcoming games. This week, we have a couple of games versus the Bruins. The second one is on a back-to-back where the Leafs will play Buffalo first on the Wednesday night and then before heading to Boston on Thursday. And then there's no game for the Leafs on trade deadline day, March the 8th, before they, I guess, they head to Montreal for a Saturday night date with the Habs at the Bell Center. So, yeah, I mean, the Boston games are basically the most important ones out of them. We should beat both Buffalo and Montreal. That's gnarly, but we'll see how that goes when it goes to our record against teams that are not in the playoffs. But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what they do against the Bruins and that whole goaltending situation that we talked about with Mike. That's going to mm-hmm. be interesting to see what Sheldon Keefe does.
Yeah, and it's like, it feels like it has been, and I was just going to say it feels like forever, but it actually has been forever since we played Montreal. So,
they always get up for us.
No matter what, no matter how they are, it's always a game with a lot of intensity. So, anyway, so the following week, the Leafs have 4 days off, which I don't know how they're even finding time to give them any time off, but they have 4 days off before their next game in Philadelphia on Thursday, March 14th. And then they're going to come back on home on Saturday, the 16th, to face the Carolina Hurricanes. That'll probably be their St. Patty's Day green uniform game before going back to Philly to play the Flyers on March 19th. So,
I just found I had to look at it a couple of times to say, how are they getting 4 days off? They don't play from the Saturday night versus Montreal through till the next Thursday. I mean, they haven't had much practice time, which is definitely good to have that bit of time. And if there are any new acquisitions too, like it'll help to get them a bit more acclimated, I guess, to the systems and that. Cause I heard Simon Benoit, actually, he just said that I guess they had one practice day after the game versus Colorado. And he just said he was happy to have that because it's almost like, because with all the changes with the D pairings and the injuries and everything, he just, it was helpful for him and to just have a practice day. So,
They better do a lot with those days because that probably is it for the year. You know, prior to going into the playoffs, they're probably not going to have too many stretches like that where they can put together some quality practice days. So,
yeah, that's for sure. All right. So we'll see what Brad Living does at the trade deadline, and we will cover it all on our next show. We don't expect a huge deal, but if there is some sort of blockbuster, which I don't think exists in the NHL anymore, but if there is involving the Leafs, we will have a bonus episode. But a quick reminder that we love to hear from our listeners. So please leave us a rating or review and let us know what you think of the show. It's easy on Apple and Spotify, or leave us a comment on YouTube. We love to hear from you, and it's important for our show to get more exposure as a source for Leafs content, and we thank you for taking the time.
And another way to help us out is by visiting our Ko-fi page at ko-fi.com. You can follow us there. And if you choose to, you can support us by buying us a coffee. Any donation goes towards helping us produce the show and making it even better for you. You can find the link to our Ko-fi page on our show notes or in any of our social media profile pages.
And we, as always, we want to thank our healthcare workers and first responders for everything that they do.
And we thank you, as always, for listening and watching Ladies Talking Leafs, presented by Bet Online. Till next time, go Leafs, go.